Hello and welcome back to the official Scottish Rugby Podcast. I'm Jamie McMillan. With me, as always, are former Scotland captains Al Kellogg and Chris Patterson, and current Scotland captain Rachel Malcolm. And on the show this week, we have a challenge for our panel as we try and work out who is the best 15 rugby players, past and present, in the world. Well, to end 2020, this very special podcast, I think the original plan was that we would all go away and we would pick our top 15 players. It's become something completely different, but I'll let you guys explain because you've all worked on something else. So, Mossy, I'll come to you first. What have you done?
I'll blame the host. I blame you, Jamie, for lack of direction. There's no clarity. World 15 was what I'd heard, and then we thought, well, maybe is it a greatest World 15 ever? Is it the last 20 years? Is it Scottish players only? What is it? So there's a hybrid. Across the three of us have done different things. I've gone for a current World 15, so including players from that are currently playing Scottish all over the world. Rich, you've got something different again, haven't you?
Yeah, so I've gone current as well, but I've gone for current Scotland and done a hybrid of the male and female Scotland team.
Nice. And Al, you've done something completely different again, haven't you?
I'm convinced the last 20 years was mentioned, so I've picked the Scottish team from the last 20 years, most of which I played with, a couple I didn't, and then I've chucked in a couple of kind of left fielders just because of
The last 20 years was mentioned when I decided, I thought, right, I'll take charge of this. I'll put a poll on the WhatsApp group, and one of them was last 20 years, but you didn't reply, so... Rachel replied.
But you only need to say it once and I'll do it, so that's why I don't reply.
But it was a question, though.
Oh, it was up for debate, and I voted the other way.
I reckon it's your punctuation. I think you just put a full stop.
No, my punctuation was fine, Jamie. That's the mess we've got ourselves into. So not only can we've probably got to get a certain amount of debate for our selections. We've selected three different things. So what we thought was, because of all that hard work and hours of effort we've gone into our teams, we'll announce our three teams and we'll pick a 15 from the three teams, if you know what I mean. So there's three contenders for each position and we'll come out with a 15 at the end of it. We might need to, before we start, underline what we're wearing or explain what we're wearing.
We all have got our Christmas jumpers on and you've got one of your kids' Christmas jumpers tied around your neck because you don't have a Christmas jumper.
I just caught myself on the camera. I thought, actually, this makes sense to you guys, but if anybody else sees this, yeah, I've got a 78-year-old or a Christmas jumper tied in my neck. I don't own the Christmas jumper.
Looks about like a scarf.
It looks all right, yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. Huh?
It's awful. It might need to come off because I'm sweating already and there's no started yet.
Right, well, to all our listeners, if you haven't switched off already, then stay with us. We're about to name the team. So we're going to start with the forwards. Number one, Rachel, I'll come to you first. Give us your front row.
Yeah, so I've gone for Rory Sutherland at one, Lannis Skeldon as my hooker, and Xander Fagerson at tight head.
Nice. And for people that don't know about maybe Lana in particular, you know, a goal-kicking legend as well, not only a good hooker, but talk us a little bit about that, because she has put over some good kicks in her career, hasn't she, as well?
Yeah, she's something quite unique in that respect, but she is a goal-kicking hooker, and not just a goal-kicking hooker, but a very good one. And she's performed in a couple of really crucial games to get, you know, the final couple of points that we needed to get the win. That's the reason I've gone for Lana there at hooker.
Nice. No, it makes sense. And Mossy, looking at your team that you've chosen, you've got a similar position, a choice for in the front row as well?
Yeah, my front row, gone with Suz at number one as well, Rory Sutherland. The criteria for my World 15 was based on attack. Like, so I'm like, I want to play quickly, I want to attack.
I've gone for a quick team too, to be fair.
Good. I'll be driving malls. And
I'm going for chase. A massive team.
my front row is Rory Sutherland, loose head, Malcolm Marks, a South African hooker, and Ty Furlong, the Irish tight head. He's been injured for most of the year, but that's mine.
I've got Tommy Smith, Lewis said 40, Ross Ford, Hooker 110 caps, Mossy, is that right? 110?
110, aye.
And Ewan Murray. So three British Lions in my front row. All guys I either grew up playing with or know very well, but a bit of debate there to pick a front row.
You guys are both going for Suss.
Does that mean that he gets a nod at Lewishead?
Nah, well, sorry to interrupt, but seeing that, Tom Smith for me, like, I played with Tom as well. Unbelievable player, like, and very similar to, in some ways to Rory Sutherland, obviously more experience and world stage of the Lions, and Tom is a phenomenal player, but similar in stature and has the same kind of mindset towards the game and Suss, but Tommy was something special for me.
You all right with that, Rach?
I'm all right with that, yes.
A very quick story. Tom Smith and Ewan Murray. Ewan Murray turned up as a young fella at Scotland session. You'd have been there. Ewan, you know, looked apart, walking around the changing rooms. He shut off, weighed himself about four times. We went out to do scrummaging practice. Hit the first scrum, I'm behind Ewan. Scrum goes down. Tommy Smith on the other side. Ewan stands up, winks at Tom Smith and then taps him in the head.
Tom, bad idea. You just see
the red mist comes down. There's a vein in the side of his head just bulging. And for the next 45 minutes, Ewan and therefore me and behind got an absolute kicking, a lesson learned from Tom Smith. So he'll make my team every single time just for that scrummaging session.
Should have been more weight coming through in the second row.
For me, I was given everything I had at that stage, which was about 105 kilograms. I was about 20 years old.
Nah, it's some machine, Tom. Some machine, some player.
Right, well, we'll put him in then, confirmed to your combined team. And what we thinking then, hooker-wise, what you want to go for?
I'm a big Ross Ford fan as well, to be fair.
But I'm not sure you can go away from the goal-kicking. Yeah, you're looking for a point of difference.
For me, it'd be between those two.
Lana Ross, going forward. Mossy?
Yeah. I'm just looking at the other teams to see if we can offset a goal-kicker. there's options there.
She's very good from the touchline.
She is. She I do. I work with the women.
Can I just throw in an extra criteria, Mossy? Sorry to interrupt. An extra criteria. Right. I'd quite like to know what Lana's like as a tourist as well. So
she'd be top notch.
I would imagine she would be top notch.
I do a session every Tuesday night with the women, the goal kickers. There's six or eight of them, of which Lana's one of them. And she honestly makes me laugh every single session. I can only imagine, Rach, what she's like on a tour, but she's
grumpy.
She's grumpy. Really?
Nah, she's great, but she makes me laugh. She's like, she's taken about 5 years to get into camp food and getting up at certain times and stuff like that. But no, she's, for the time I've known Lana, she's developed dramatically as a person off the pitch. But no, she's brilliant. She's proper 100% committed to the cause, and you know, she's.
So are we suggesting that Lana is going to push out the Centurion from Scotland and the World Cup winner from South Africa?
I think so. Yeah.
Let's do it. She's in.
Nice.
Lana's great around the park as well. I think she's got that on her side. She plays like a flanker.
She's got a brilliant turn of phrase as well. It might have to be bleeped out every now and again, which is just the goal kick, but it's quite unique.
Yeah. No, she's a good egg.
So we've got three different tight-heads to choose from, don't we? We've got Xander Fagerson, we've got Ewan Murray, and we've got Tad Furlong.
All quite similar, eh?
Well, I would say I understand why you put him in, Mossy, but he's maybe for me because he's not played as much. But I guess this is based on whatever criteria I've decided. Yeah, true. That's a very good point.
Yeah,
that's
we're a more very... matched back than Ewan.
I would say Ty Furlong and Xander Fagerson have probably more to the game. Like, Eugene was just an unbelievable set piece tight head and defender in on the breakdown. And I think we've said this before, that maybe a few years ago there was real specifics you needed to play, but I think now the game's changed a wee bit and you probably need to be a bit broader. But like, honestly, like, Ewan could have transformed what we were able to do in terms of his dominance in the set piece. But I think Furlong and Xander, especially now, in terms of attack, ball carrying, counter-rucking, disruption, just real
tough match to play against, I think would probably offer slightly more than Ewan at the moment, because Ewan's retired as well, obviously. But what do you reckon, Al? Would you agree?
Yeah, I tend to agree. Xander, Jamie, to your point, give Xander another 5 years, Xander's got the opportunity that, yep, that he'll be named in all these teams.
No, even 5 years, I don't think. A couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a big year ahead of him, doesn't he? So I agree with that. But Ty Furlong is, yeah, I mean, if you put in a criteria of people you don't want to play against, he's right up there. Not only for the scrummaging, but he gets the ball in his hand, he's going to be doing some damage as well.
He's massive, isn't he?
Yeah. Huge.
Like, he's just a massive, massive man. When you kind of, I remember bumping into him and shaking his hand, and I said to him, "You're the reason I retired." This is absolute mad. He says, "Well," he says, "I wouldn't have got my hands on you." I said, "Well, good job," because it was just a huge, like, just a huge man that can offer so much in terms of, as you say, kind of open play as well. So he's got I don't know what his injury is, but he's played most of the season. But that would be my vote for the time being.
So what are we thinking then, Al Rich? You want to go with that?
Yeah, I reckon so. Then we've got one from each team as well, to be diplomatic.
Good.
Brilliant. So that's a front row then. Moving into the second row, I'll come to the expert in that field first. Mossy, who have you gone for in the...
this was difficult, but I've gone for two non-Scots, Mara Toji and Brody Retallick. Again, Brody Retallick hasn't played a lot as much this year. And my downside to Mara Toji is I think he gives away too many penalties, but he has a pretty big impact, as we know. Etzebeth from South Africa was in the mix. Scotty Cummins was in the mix as well. Currently, but I went for a Toji and Retallick.
Big Al.
Scott Murray and Johnny Gray in my team. Like Scotty, just, I suppose, a different type of second row when he burst on it. Seemed so athletic, like basketball history, a bit of a mentor of mine as well, and looked after me well, but just a phenomenal aerial player. Line out kickoffs, just as good as I've ever been. You probably lose a little bit if you put Scotty in ahead of Mario Toji as far as ball carrying or physicality, but he brought something a bit different.
And you went for Johnny ahead of Richie?
I did, aye. Probably the balance of the second row. We'll use that. I think that Johnny for me, it's the consistency of performance. Like the guy, he'll always make 95%+ tackles, and there will always be a lot of tackles. Yeah. The work rate you get out of him will be phenomenal. He'll hit rocks. You wouldn't believe what he's looking for at the moment, or what he needs is that point of difference. You mentioned Mario Toji there. He's got that point of difference, that influence in the game. But if you watch Johnny or look at his stats, phenomenal consistency over a decent amount of time now, and he's going down, he's doing it well for Exeter at the moment as well.
Agree.
Yeah.
And Rich?
This was actually probably my hardest position to fill, just because I think for both the men's and the women's team, I think this is probably where we have like some of our most consistent performance, like Al says. I've gone for Scott Cummins and Sarah Bonner. I think Scott in the last like year or so has just kind of come on unbelievably. And, you know, watching him play the last couple months, he's really turning into a bit of a leader as well. And you can see him, like, I thought him going back and playing for Glasgow against Exeter at the weekend, you saw that he was the one that was like driving the energy. He was really standing out around the park as well. And I was like, that's like the sign of a leader, that in a game like that, he's the one that's really driving things forward. So, and again, unbelievable work rate around the park and kind of also around the line out as well. He's a brilliant option there. And then similar with Sarah Bonner. This was pretty tight between her and Emma Wasson. I'm probably going to get stick for going this way. But again, the girl probably has the highest rucks hit, the highest tackles made in every Six Nations she plays in. And again, another really good line-out option. So yeah, for that reason, being a bit of a workhorse and all that goes with it, and a brilliant player to have on your team as well, from a drive and the energy and all that.
This is tough to select, because you've got six players there who all bring something. Like, I can agree with you more about Scott Cummins. The last couple of months in particular, he's just gone up another level.
I thought, when I watched him play for Glasgow, I was like, that he looks like an international player going back into a club side. Yeah. Like, he stood out massively, and like when things were not going great, you could see him. He was the one driving everything, and I was like, that's really impressive.
It's funny how we kind of almost, and I think we're pretty good, we're pretty balanced, but I think subconsciously we sometimes pigeonhole young players to think actually, you know, they haven't got a huge amount of experience. They've only played, say only, you know, international rugby in the last 18 months or so, and you expect them to kind of maybe play a little bit, or you expect maybe mistakes or inconsistencies that you don't necessarily see from someone who's got 5 or 10 years of international experience. And I think, you know, a lot of kind of younger players in kind of Scott Cummins' bracket, you expect to have maybe a poor game or drop off a little bit because they've not played, you know, so much. But he doesn't do it. Like, it doesn't. Like, as you say, I thought exactly the same. And even the Autumn Nations Cup as well. Like, kind of, because he had such a good kind of World Cup and, you know, first season really with the national team. I mean, it happens. It's probably not kind of pigeonholing, because most people do have a second season syndrome type thing. But he's getting better and better and better, and has no sign of any kind of inconsistency in his game, as you were saying about Johnny. Really similar for somebody so young to always deliver that level of performance is brilliant.
Where are we going?
You go first, you're the second row. You lead us on this, Al. You know what you're looking for.
You could put a combination of any of those players together and you've got a world class second row. I think for everything you've just said, we've all just said, and we're all in agreement, I think Scotty Cummins, for what he's done in the last year and a half, gets in.
Yeah.
And then
I had him in my four. He was one of my four that whittled down to you.
So if he's in your four when you're looking globally, I think that says an awful lot about him at the stage he's at. And see, to be honest, although it pains me to say it, for impact in the game, I think you've got to have Mario Tjoji in there.
Yeah.
Like he's going to influence any game of rugby that he plays in, and
gives away a lot of penalties though.
He does,
it's
but then
so
you can
annoying
almost
though, isn't it?
Because he's a game changer. Like he can do things from the second row that win you a game, which not many players can.
Yeah,
but locking it in.
Just before that, I'm going to ask Hines as well. Nathan Hines he was in one of my kind of extended squads. I thought, Al, you might have gone with Hines in there as well. We experienced playing alongside him, Scotty. Yeah.
Okay, again, he a bit like I told you, he brought a few penalties too, but he brought a physicality and a gnarliness as well as being a phenomenal rugby player. And then Scotty, obviously, and Grimesy, puts Scotty, Grimesy, and Hinesy into that group. Those are the guys that were kind of 5-6 years above me that I kind of grew up trying to emulate. So they were good guys to learn off. Myself and Jim, Scotty McLeod, guys like that coming through. Hinesy would be thereabouts in everybody's conversations.
So do you reckon Scotty Cummins and Itoje then?
Yeah, I think he's locked in.
Who goes four, who goes five, Al?
Scotty Cummins goes head lock. For me, put Itoje at the front. Now, line out wise, it won't matter, but just I think scrummaging power. Scotty would play on the left and Itoje in the right.
Nice.
Upper average.
Yeah.
Well, sticking with you, Rach, we'll move on to the back row then. Who have you gone for?
I've gone for Jamie Ritchie at six. He's probably one of my favourite back rows to watch. He's a bit of a workhorse as well and does a lot of the unseen work in terms of, you know, hitting rucks, particularly in defence, trying to slow things down, and also a really good rugby player around the park in terms of handling, carrying, tackling, and a workhorse probably through and through is the big thing. Seven, Hamish Watson, kind of goes without much description, but just for his kind of ability with ball in hand in terms of taking players on and just being that nemesis over the ball. And then eight, Jade Conkle, just like probably one of Scotland women's most consistent players, an absolute powerhouse in terms of ball carries. But now, you know, our game's really developed, I'd say, in the last kind of 2 or 3 years in terms of actually our ability to get around the park. So, like, the number of carries and tackles and all of the stuff that she gets through, not only the number, but the quality of them. So, for me, Jade Conkle takes the number eight shirt.
Right, I'll come to you last, Al, because I've got a question for you. But I'll go, Mossy, Next, then, your back row.
Yeah, can I, World 15, there's a similarity. Hamish Watson at seven. Seven was really, really hard when you're looking across the world. There's so many good players, and Jamie Ritchie can play in there as well. Andy can play six, but I've gone with Hamish Watson, and he's beaten off competition from Sam Underhill, Tom Curry, Michael Hooper. I mean, there's so many brilliant sevens, but I do think Hamish is a bit of a machine in there. Big blind side, I've gone Peter Steph Letoy, the South African World Player of the Year last year. Yeah. Just an amazing player. He's a massively athletic, big, powerful guy, but he plays with soft skills as well. Like, he's pretty special. I think he's injured again for most of this season. He hasn't played a lot of rugby, obviously, down in South Africa, but World Cup and the build-up to World Cup, he was something special. So Peter Steph Letoy at six, Hamish Watson at seven, and Gregory Aldrete at eight, although I did have in my toss-up Simon Taylor as well when he played, and Jade Conkle was the other one. So I went with Gregory Aldrete just because I saw him at the weekend and he was pretty good against Edinburgh.
And finally, Al, let's have a look. But I believe a late change to your back row, is that right, Al?
There was a lot of debate in my back row, and a lot of the names that have already been mentioned. The only other one I would throw in that was very close was Jason White at six, just for his sheer tackling ability. Some of the hits he put in. He hit Flannery in a game in Ireland, which, I mean, Flannery still wakes up probably in the middle of the night remembering that hit. But my back row is Simon Taylor at six, Hamish Watson at seven, and a little bit of a left field one in Josh Strauss at eight. Played with Josh a lot more in a Glasgow shirt than a Scotland shirt, but when he was good and he was on his game, he brought something that we didn't have, you know, that sheer ball carrying ability. And you would say to Josh, you don't need you doing anything else, get the ball in your hands and go forward. And when he did that and he got 10, 12, 15 carries a game, he was almost unplayable at times. So as I say, a bit of a left field one, but he made my team at eight.
Well, I think we're all set on Hamish Watson then. It's just where we put him, because there's a few options at number eight balls in the back row. So I think we'll agree with Hamish goes in, but where do we put him in then?
Hamish goes at seven.
We all had him at seven, so Hamish at seven.
Okay.
I think I'd put Jade at eight.
Yeah.
Yeah, agree with that.
I'd kind of bracket there with Aldrete. And actually what you're describing about how Josh plays is kind of how Jade plays, but probably more consistently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's a similar thing. And so if you agree, I'd go with Jade at eight. So we've got six to figure out.
You could play Simon out of position. He's naturally an eight, but he could play anywhere. What, unbelievably talented. Mm-hmm. He played a World Player of the Year from last year. Who did you have in? Jamie Ritchie. Jamie Ritchie was right in the mix for me as well.
I don't think he can look past the World Player of the Year for last year.
I agree with you.
Because he is a couple of games at Manifield a few years back, I remember watching, thinking this guy is utterly phenomenal. Because he actually plays like a bit of an open side. He doesn't play like what he looks like.
Yeah.
He looks like this big enforcer, which he is, but he's got such a skill set. Like,
yeah.
A big shock of blonde hair for those who don't know me. I think he's an amazing player.
Yeah.
So Peter Steph the toy at six then.
Brilliant. Hamish at seven and Jade at eight. Now, this is actually just on the back row, because we're doing some archive clips at the moment, and one clip that we're going to be putting out shortly is of a great try by Eric Peters. And people often talk about how good a player he was. Just very quickly, Mossy, I think you might have played with him, or maybe we should know.
Yeah.
But he was often taught, I think injury got in the way of his career a little bit, but Eric Peters, just a note on him.
Oh, he's brilliant. He got a really bad knee injury. It wasn't a ligament thing. I think it was an injury to his kneecap. But he was really dynamic. The try you're talking about is probably one against Wales, is it?
Correct. Yeah.
About 98, perhaps.
I think it was
97.
I think it was 95, but I'd have to check.
Oh well, something bad. But yeah, no, real dynamic, and yeah, he actually joined up with us on tour. He'd actually kind of stopped playing by the time I started the national team, but we were on tour in Canada and North America in 2002, and he was in the area and he was needed. He was still playing professionally, but he hadn't been involved in the national for a while, so he got the SOS and came in and just, like a duck to water, just led this kind of young touring team for number eight. But yeah, brilliant player, and I remember the try you mentioned.
Right, well, that is the forwards locked in. The dog agrees where the forwards are locked in. So let's move on to the backs then. Al, we'll start with you. Who have you gone for? Who have you gone for in your scrum half position?
Well, we go 9 and 10. 9 and 10, I've gone for Chris Cusseter and Finn Russell. 9, a lot of great 9s that I played with. Mike Boyle, Rory Lawson, Greg Lloyd Law, but Cuss just edges it for me. Just for the kind of, I always like somebody that's got a little bit of nastiness in them, and Cuss has definitely got a wee bit of nastiness in him. And Finn Russell at 10, just like he's been phenomenal.
Mossy, you?
I've gone for Antoine Dupont at 9. I think it's kind of unanimous, really. At the moment, he's probably the best 9 in the world. There's some quality competition, as always. And I've gone, again, my standoff was difficult. And it's maybe a bit of a sentimental reason. I've gone for Finn Russell, but Richie Mwanga is some player as well, when you see him play. But I've gone for Antoine Dupont and Finn Russell.
And finally, Rach, your 9 and 10 combination?
I've gone for, at number 9, George Horn. Largely because he fits in with the theme of my team being quite a quick, fast-playing rugby team. But I also do think he, you know, is a player coming through who has incredible ability and kind of brings that X factor in terms of his ability to kind of turn a game around in terms of speed of play, but also, you know, sniping around that breakdown as well. And then at 10, I've also gone for Finn Russell. Do we think at the moment you can look past him in terms of his playmaking ability? So, yeah, that's my 9-10 combo.
Right, so it seems that we're all in agreement, you guys are, for your 10 position in Finn Russell. So it's just the 9 that needs a little bit of work. So the options are George Horn, Chris Cusseter, and Antoine Dupont. So what are we thinking then, team? Who's going to get the 9 shirt?
I think, like, no disrespect to Chris Cusseter and everything he did, but Dupont, for me, for all the reasons Mossy mentions there, he's just brought a different level to that team.
Yeah, agreed.
Wow, that was easier than some other ones. So 9-10 confirmed. Let's move into the... We'll go for both wingers then. So who have you gone for, Mossy, in your winging positions?
A couple of decent players, in all honesty. Semi Radradra on the left wing, the Fijian. He was almost in my 13 position as well, but I've gone for Semi Radradra and Cheslin Colby on the right wing. We're talking about Dupont changing the way rugby's played, and Cheslin Colby is just kind of out of this world. And I love the fact that he's small, he's dynamic, he's powerful. It doesn't really fit the bill of Kenny, the story around rugby being all about physicality. Yes, he's physical. Yes, he's powerful, but quite a small guy in comparison to others. But somebody that he would pay twice the ticket price to watch, really. So Radradra on the left wing and Colby on the right wing.
Lovely. Al, what are you thinking?
I've got Glenn Metcalf. I've got Snowy in just because I needed to get him in my team. And we'll talk about fullback in a bit. But Snowy, like, we had him on during the summer and we're chatting to him. Just the way the different style of play that he brought to the Scotland shirt, he was phenomenal. I mean, we talked about his white boots and everybody thought white boots were the reason that he could step like that. But he was just incredibly talented. So I've got Snowy in the other wing, and on one wing, and another wing, I've got Tom Evans. A little bit left field, but like Tommy's, I think, the quickest player I've ever played with. Injury in 2010 meant we probably didn't see the best of him, and what we did see of him was phenomenal. Just as, you know, dynamic a player going forward as you'll ever see. Also, and I'll go back to my earlier criteria, a brilliant tourist. Absolutely brilliant tourist. Off the park, Tommy brings an awful lot. Straight out of the boy band. So he makes my team for his rugby ability, but also for his off-field antics.
And finally, Rich, who are you going for on both wings?
So I've gone for Rona Lloyd on my left wing, you know, just for that kind of out-and-out pace and finishing ability. And then on my right wing, similar reasons to what Mossy gave, I've gone for Darcy Graham. So just another player who doesn't necessarily fit the bill in terms of the way world rugby's going in terms of being big and physical. You know, he's a small player, but what he manages to do with his frame and his abilities is unbelievable. And I think another young player who's coming through and just going from strength to strength. So Darcy Graham's on my right wing.
Nice, all great options, but it leaves us with a bit of a challenge to fill both wings. To your point again, you know, Cheslin Colby for me stands out a little bit. I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah.
I know you guys are deciding the team, but for me, like, he is box office, and I think he represents that new generation of winger. A bit like Darcy, smaller, kind of impactful, quick on his feet. So, I mean, happy to put him at 14.
You can lock in Colby. I think everybody's nodding as well.
Which is good for a podcast.
Good for a podcast.
Like your Christmas jumpers.
Okay, and that leaves the other wing.
So, who are our options again? So,
you should say at that stage, Rach, there was a definite criteria which we all got that we weren't allowed to pick anybody on the panel. Because all of us probably would have made each other's team. I'll say that. Also, you'd have definitely made my team.
Jamie would have been in my back row.
Yeah,
six. No, Rachel was at six. You were at seven.
I was like, cheers.
No, Rachel was. I'd put Rachel.
Come here, Rach.
No, oh, there it is.
Get in the front row. you've got Radradra, Tom Evans, or Rona Lloyd.
Radradra is an unbelievable player that you would want in your team, isn't he?
Yeah, but Rona Lloyd's box office.
She is box office. Some of the tries that girl scores, she scored against Exeter at the weekend, and she had no right to score this try. Like,
every game I've seen Rona play for Scotland, when she gets the ball, everybody's on tenderhooks because she's going forward. She's phenomenal. So I mean, she's getting ahead of some good players there. But I'm going to say Rona Lloyd.
She's flat out or nothing when she gets the ball, isn't it?
Yeah, like it's just, but it's
a wee bit like Tommy. A wee bit like Tommy.
Yeah,
in some ways, it's just like, even if there's a wall of defenders for space, it's just flat out. I mean, there's no second thought, is there?
No, yeah, but one thing I would say about Rona is I do think she's like developed her game quite a lot in the last couple of years in terms of her ability to eliminate players rather than just like head down and going. And also,
the comparison to Tommy's like it's
quite similar.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I think you could go on a Lloyd in and Tommy comes on the bench.
And she kind of fits into Al's criteria as well about...
Likes a song.
Sorry, my phone was
ringing. Likes a song,
She kind of fits into Al's criteria as well about being kind of a good tourist as well. From what I'm seeing, she's good fun, isn't she? It's good to have her in camp.
Yeah, she's the driver of everything off pitch for sure. She's the leader of the women's team band.
She's real cool. She's so good. It would have been Tommy and Rona on the wings.
Just for pure banter reasons.
just.
But no, Fair enough. She's a good egg as well, for sure.
Nice.
Brilliant. Right, so let's go into the centre partnership then. Mossy, we'll start with you. You're going for your centre.
Yeah, again, I've gone very many Vakatawa. The link up with Finn. It's probably, I say better than, it's probably more conventional inside centres, but he brings some in terms of his offload, his attack. Could probably be a wee bit more consistent, but again, like, he brings something really special. So Virmi Vakatawa at 12 and Emily Scarrett at 13, the English outside centres. She's a goal kicking option as well, an amazing goal kicker, but like, in terms of, Rachel no better, but in terms of kind of women's rugby, she for me is just somebody that is just so consistent, so powerful, deals with pressure. There's a lot of pressure on her, just a brilliant outside centre, and Emily Scarrett.
Rach?
I've gone for Sam Johnson at 12. He's obviously not played as much in this season, but I think in the last kind of couple seasons, the way he's broken out and performed in crucial games, he's been unbelievable, both in attack and defence. And then 13 was a real hard call, but I've gone for Lisa Thompson. Again, a player who I think's come on massively in the last couple of years, and this season in particular has been, you know, almost faultless, you know, both in attack and defence, but both her ball-carrying ability and her ability to distribute and play make. So, she is my number 13.
Big Al.
I've got JL, John Leslie at 12, and I've got Gregor Townsend at 13. Gregor could easily have played 10, but to get Finn and Gregor into my team, move Gregor out to 13. I never played with John Leslie, but just at that period where I was kind of trying to break through, he was phenomenal. And it was Wales, wasn't it, Mossy? 20 yeah. odd seconds on a clock.
It was less than that, was it? Was it eight seconds or something?
Seven seconds.
It could have been quicker.
That up, Jamie. You've no idea if it was.
No, I do know because we put it out a few months ago, and it's still, I think, still classes the world's fastest international rugby try.
It could have been quicker if you put the ball down as well.
Exactly.
Two ball players as well. Two guys with plenty of ability to bring the back three into it, but there's some stiff competition in the guys that you guys have named as well.
Emily, do you play with Emily, Rachel?
Yeah, so Skaz plays at Lightning with me, and she, for me, like, you can't look past her at 13. She's unbelievable. She, you know, play, like you say, like, people put a lot of pressure on her, both on and off the pitch, and her, you watch her play, and it looks like she's got about 10 minutes on the ball every time she makes a pass. And I said to her the other day, I was like, if I could look as a fraction as calm as you is when you are on the ball, like, I'd be unbelievable. But she's just so calm, so controlled, and the way she reads the game is just unbelievable. And again, a great ball carrier and distributor, so I just don't think you can look past her.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Well, if that's agreed, then technically what we've done there is drop Gregor Townsend. So I'll phone him. He's dropped me enough over the years. So just say, look, you've trained well, you've been great, but unfortunately it's just gone against your selection in this team.
You can put it on me if you need to.
Mind you, you could play him at 12 though.
Oh.
With Finn and Gregor together. I would say, if you play John Leslie in there, John was kind of the foil to Gregor in terms of working really well together. So he would probably kind of carry out that role with Finn at 10. But you could just go, if we're going all out attack, you could almost go Finn, Gregor, then Emily Scarrett.
Well, guys, it makes my phone call easier. Like, we're going to play at 13, but we thought you've trained really well at 12. You're back.
So we're going with GT at 12 and Emily Scarrett at 13. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Fine. So that just leaves one position free. Mossy, I'll start with you on this. Who have you gone for and why for the full pack position?
Oh, man. It's all right. It's a 50-50. No, I'm not all right. It's a 50-50 between Stuart Hogg and Bowden Barrett. And actually, when I inked it in, I went with Bowden Barrett because I just think, I don't know. It could be Hoggy, could be Bowden Barrett. But at a time where I was sitting at my kitchen table, starving, needing my toasty, I thought, I'm going to have to plunk for something. And at that moment, I went Bowden Barrett and it locked it in. But Hoggy's phenomenal. But I think somebody, again, like Ches and Colby, who you want to watch, yes, of course, Hoggy's at that. Maybe there's a bit of mystique because we know Hoggy and we don't know Bowden Barrett so well. But when I see him play, I just think he's an amazing player.
That's fair enough. Al?
I've got Hoggy, Stuart Hogg. From the team criteria that I had, he's a standout there. I had a bad moment a bit with him last night, though, Jamie. As you guys know already, I've been cutting my son's hair since lockdown, so now he doesn't need a hairdresser. I've decided I'm doing it. And he's getting his hair cut last night, and he said to me, can you make my hair look like Stuart Hogg's? Which I was disappointed through. So I FaceTimed Hoggy and I said, Hoggy, honestly, one of the lowest moments I've ever had, he wants his hair to look like yours. And he says, well, he's not going to want it to look like his dad's, is he? And I said, right, you need to give him a tip. How does he get his hair to look like yours? And his tip to my 7-year-old son was, use the hairdryer. Every morning when Rory gets up, you just hear the hairdryer going on. Morning before his Christmas disco, as he's trying to get the Stuart Hogg flick. So for that reason, I might drop him. But no, Stuart Hogg is number 15.
And Rich, who have you gone for?
This was another real tight call between Hoggy and Chloe Rowley. But I've gone with Chloe. Again, she is, what, in your words, box office. And, you know, her ability to eliminate and some of the tries she scores are just unbelievable. So, yeah, I've gone for Chloe.
Moshi's got to get the final nudge on this. Like, he's
yeah, I think this...
To be honest, it's the we could be here a while then if I've got the final call. Nah, because I think you have to go with Hoggy. Yeah. I think you have to go Stuart Hogg, just in terms of his attacking ability, is, you know, every time you watch him, he's got the ability to score a wonder try. He fits exactly into what we want in terms of a good lad, a good tourist, and a, you know, an amazing player. So, and
we should shy away from the fact that it's an all Scottish panel, and we're slightly biased. So,
we'll put Bowden Barrett on the bench.
Yeah.
Then we'll put Hoggy in the starting 15.
That sounds good. Right.
One of those guys going to have to cover 10, and we're not going to have a, excuse me, we've got Tommy on the bench already, and we'll need a 9. But, you know.
Tooney can cover 10. Tooney can cover 10 for 12.
Of course he can.
Al. Come on, screw that up, mate.
I've got faith in Lana Skelton.
Yeah, I reckon she'd make a good scrum half as well. She'd be all right.
She'd be fine in that position. Right, well, that's it done. The current world, past and present, future world 15 has been named. So let's just reiterate and go through the team. So what you guys have gone for is your front row of Tom Smith, Lannis Gildon and Tad Furlong. In the second row, Scott Cummings and Mario Itoje. Your back row is Peter Steph Dutoit, Hamish Watson and Jade Conkle. 9 and 10 is Anton Dupont and Finn Russell. Your centre partnership of Gregor Townsend and Emily Scarrett. On the wings, Rona Lloyd and Cheslin Colby, and your fullback was Stuart Hogg. Good team, guys.
Good team.
Who are they playing? When's the session?
Well, in January, we'll name the team they will be facing. And I'll set out the criteria for that in a random way. Listen, guys, what I need to say as well is that it's been our 40th consecutive podcast since the 25th of March, since lockdown started, and it's our 47th one of the year, believe it or not. So, some shift from us all, so we're going to go away and enjoy our Christmas now, and we'll be back in the new year to update you on all the things with Scottish rugby. But guys, just want to say have a really good Christmas, and we'll catch up with you all in the new year.
You too, Jamie.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, guys.
All the best. That's all from us this week and this year on the official Scottish Rugby Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you agree or disagree with the panel selection, please let us know on social media. And on behalf of everybody at Scottish Rugby, we wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.